You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Warden. We have a special guest coming your way today, Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline. Before we get to him, though, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Also, you can use your smart device to play Locked On Angels. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Locked On Angels, and hopefully I'm right there with you. Like we said, though, we do have a special guest for today's show. Now joining us from Arizona in the Arizona Fall League, Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com. Jonathan, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate you being able to spend some time with us.
My pleasure, Taylor.
Now, obviously, the Arizona Fall League really does highlight some premier prospects. The Angels do have two very premier prospects there, and also a third guy that has kind of fallen off in prospect status. I want to start with him. But what has Jamai Jones shown you this spring or this fall now?
You know, he's kind of shown what he did now, what 3 years ago? I mean, what, you know, he really has struggled after kind of starting off his career, you know, really well. You know, 2016, you know, he made it to full season ball. 2017 was a good year where, you know, he's split the year and was in high A, and it looked like there was a huge up arrow next to his name. And then the last 2 years have been rough. And, you know, he just hasn't really been able to get in any kind of consistent rhythm. You know, this was a guy who looked like he had, you know, sort of an interesting power-speed combination, and the power has kind of vanished. So what he's been doing here is just he's been driving the ball. You know, I was at the game where he homered. I've seen a couple of his doubles. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. You know, he continued to get on base. You know, and that's something that he has done kind of decently well throughout. But you know, he's been aggressively going after pitches. He looks during, you know, any conversation about the Fall League, Taylor, is always with the caveat that it's such a small sample size. Just like he was in the Fall League last year and didn't hit well. So, you know, I don't know that means anything. I'm hoping for him that his time here sort of helped him hit the reset button and gives him a little confidence going into next year. You know, he's still young. He's only 22. You know, he could go back to Double A again, and I don't think there'd be that big of a deal, you know, but hopefully, you know, he has a strong spring training and can move up to Triple A. But I'm hoping this is a good reset button. But I've been very impressed with his ability to be on time with the swing and drive the ball more than he has for much of the last 2 years.
And as you noted, this is such a small sample size that you can't really take you have to take statistics with a grain of salt because the talent does vary so much. But one guy that's really performing well statistically and kind of opening eyes is Brandon Marsh. Now, I know that he didn't make your end of the season top 100, but has your opinion changed in a sense when it comes to Brandon Marsh?
Without question. And we do, you know, we use Fall League performance. It won't be the be all end all. And he is a guy who has come up in conversation as we've needed replacements or even when we did the end of season. He's on the cusp. And what he's done in this fall, you know, like we obviously haven't started talking about the 2020 list yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the top 100. You know, the tools are tremendous. Maybe the only thing that sort of held him back from being more on our radar is because he missed so much time. I also think that he, you know, lives a little bit in Joe Adell's shadow. I don't know that he minds that at all, but by the way, I've gotten a chance to talk to him a bunch of times. First of all, he was fantastic to talk to. All three of the top Angels hitters in the Fall League are like plus talkers, which is, you know, like we don't put that in our scouting reports, but I wish we would. but he, you know, he's a guy who's always had an advanced approach to the plate. He's always known how to hit. and he knows that the power is going to come. Ironically, Taylor, I recorded an interview with him for the Pipeline podcast, which we just recorded today, the day that you and I are recording this, and we talked about, you know, the sort of how power is the last thing to come and how it hasn't shown up for him, but he knows it's in there, and that was before the game that he homered twice. So, but one of the things is he doesn't sell out for power. He's just trying to square up to baseball, and he has the ability to really do that. So, and he's been doing it here consistently. He's been driving the ball. He runs exceedingly well, especially for a guy his size. You know, I've heard from like three or four different people making Jason Worth comps. I think the hair and the beard certainly add to that, but a lot of that makes sense.
And once again, we're talking with Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com. He does the MLB Pipeline Top 100 with Jim Callis. Now, Jonathan, just before we get into Joe Waddell conversation, this MLB Top 100, I don't think people understand how well tapped in you are to every minor leaguer. You understand every affiliate. You understand what they're doing with their players. When it came to Brandon Marsh, he had a slugging percentage below 500, 500 there. And when you look at this top 100, performance does have its impact. Obviously, it is a primarily scouting industry where you're talking to scouts and you're talking to them about what the eventual player will be. Sometimes statistics don't measure that. But personally, I think it's very understandable that Brandon Marsh didn't make the top 100, but like you said, on the cusp of that, kind of in that 115, you know, 100 to 115 range. When you do this top 100 with Jim, what kind of conversation are you having? Obviously, you're talking to so many scouts, so many organizations, executives, but when you're doing this top 100, what's kind of the consensus here on how you break this down?
Right, and I don't want to give short shrift to Mike Rosenbaum, who's our third guy. Jim and I get most of the ink. But Mike is very much a part of it as well, and we split all 30 teams up. We each do 10 teams. So, I mean, I can sort of tell you how the process basically works. We'll each come up with our own personal top 100. We'll kind of combine them together. We'll take a first look at things that seem out of whack, you know, because we're human. We'll be like, oh, I, you know, totally forgot to put this guy in, or yeah, you're right. He should be higher or lower. And we'll sort of tweak the list. And then we will send it out to a whole bunch of pro scouting directors, scouts, you name it. You know, not as much player development people because obviously they're only concerned with their own team, so they won't see the other team. So it's mostly pro scouts and executives and things like that. And we'll get feedback, and then we'll adjust accordingly. And there are definitely times where we have a guy not in the top 100, and we'll hear from six people, you really need to get this guy on your list. And so then we'll make that change before we go live with it. So we do rely, you know, heavily on the people whose job it is to evaluate these players on a day in and day out basis. And that's the scouting industry.
And of course, I didn't want to leave Mike Rosenbaum out. That's on my end. So Jonathan, we got to head to a short break. You mind staying on with us?
We'd love to.
Before we head to our second segment, we're going to talk about Breaking Tee. Now, Breaking Tee is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tee jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make the moment live forever. When these moments happen, we will join in with Breaking Tee to make these t-shirts available to you, the listeners, through www.breakingtee.com/lockedon. Once again, that's www.breakingtee.com/lockedon. More to come here at Locked On Angels in our second segment with special guest Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. Once again, we have Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline here with us. Now, Jonathan, I think we have to talk about Joe Waddell, obviously one of the top prospects in baseball. But I know, it's such a struggle. But Joe Waddell, not only in the fall league, but all season long, seeing what he's done, what really makes him one of the top prospects in baseball?
It's kind of crazy because, you know, I'm sure you remember when he was coming out in the 2017 draft, I have to keep reminding myself that was only 2 years ago. there were concerns about the swing and miss to his game. The raw power is unbelievable, right? But this is a guy who, didn't have the best high school competition. He did well in home run derbies and things like that. But, high school baseball in Kentucky is only so-so. Over the summer, it was a little tough at times because there was so much swing and miss. And they figured, all right, well, there's a lot in there to tap into, but it might take a long time. I think a lot of people thought that he might be the kind of guy that would take, 2 years to get to full season ball. And he made it to Double-A in his first full season. No one saw that coming in a million years. And then this year he misses a huge amount of the season and still makes it up to Triple-A. Now, obviously the Angels have been aggressive, but he's earned that. It's not like they did it and he wasn't ready. And so now he is a guy who's going to be knocking on the big league door in 2020 at the age of 21. He is so far ahead of schedule, I think even the Angels, I think, would probably have to admit that they didn't know that he would figure things out this quickly. And I talked to Joe at the beginning of the fall a little bit about it. He said what's really worked for him is that some of those sort of aggressive tendencies in high school, he's held on to. He's still an aggressive hitter at the plate, but he has learned to sort of marry that with having a better approach and more of a game plan at the plate. There's going to be swing and miss. This is a guy who's going to strike out a good amount. I don't think there's any question. But he's starting to draw, a few more walks. And it's not even just that. It's more not missing pitches that he should be swinging at and not swinging at pitches out of the zone. There are some moving parts and things like that to his swing. His hand-eye coordination is so extraordinary that it all works. And then add in the fact that, he can run and he can throw and he came into the fall league as one of the most, if not the most, one of the most exciting guys on any roster. And he certainly has lived up to that.
Now, I don't want to give anything away, and we've talked about your top 100, but looking at your top 100 right now, Joe Waddell is ranked fifth. The guys ahead of him, Wander Franco of the Rays, Gavin Lux of the Dodgers, Luis Robert of the White Sox, Mackenzie Gore of the Padres. When I'm looking at this, I see Casey Mize here at seven. A healthy Casey Mize has the potential. There are very few guys you're ever going to throw around the word ace potential, but does Joe Waddell have this conversation about him, about being the top prospect in baseball?
I think so. I think that he is, if you look at him and Luis Robert, and keep in mind that there is not much. Now, it differs from year to year. It differs from year to year, but in this list, I don't think there's that much separating the top five guys, six, seven, if you want to throw Mize in there. Bobby Witt has a chance to be a number one prospect. Royce Lewis is now nine because they're coming off of a rough year. So, there's not a whole lot separating a lot of these guys, and you could make arguments for a lot of them. Luis Robert, is ahead. It's splitting hairs is really what I think I'm getting at, and I think an argument could be made that they all belong in that conversation. If Luis Robert takes a step forward in terms of his plate discipline, then maybe he separates himself a little bit more. He does everything well. I think, he probably could stay in center field long term. Not that Adele couldn't play center, but I think he's more of a corner profile, and putting aside the fact that obviously he's not going to play center field with the Angels anytime in the near future. There's a reason. He was 14 at the beginning of the year. He's moved up to number five. He's in that conversation. Franco and Lux, they're up the middle infielders. That may give them a little edge. Wander Franco's just the ridiculous. He's almost like a Vlad Guerrero type of pure hitter. So That's why he's there. So, yeah, I mean, you could look at any of those guys and make a case for him being at the top of this list. And that's why he's five. You know, we don't have him lower for that reason.
And personally, just looking at Wander Franco, seeing the swing, seeing everything about him, very obvious he's such a special prospect. He's my number one prospect in baseball. But like you said, there is a lot of splitting hairs here. Now, Jonathan, before I let you go, and once again, this is Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com. Going back to the Angels, let's say 2014, 2015, 2016, with their farm system, seeing where it is now compared to what it was then, I mean, how night and day difference is it?
It's as stark a contrast as you can get. Now, it's not that the Angels farm system now is one of the top two or three in all of baseball. It's just that it was so barren. And listen, there are often reasons for that. You know, you can look at things one or two ways, and those who are in charge use the farm system to trade for big league pieces to try to compete. Sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't. You know, and it's hard to win, sustain winning, and have a strong farm system with continuity. Now, the Angels are a team that they have the money that they could continue to do that. I think what's most exciting about their farm system now is just the upside and the athleticism. We're actually working on a project. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with it, but, a top tools kind of thing. And one of the things we ask of farm directors and player development people is, like, who's the best athlete in your organization? And a lot of times it's, like, a real easy answer. It is not easy to pick the best athlete in this system. There are just... You could pick any of the top three guys, or make an argument, for Adell Marsh or Jordan Adams. Deshaun Knowles is a specimen. Trent DeVoe is a crazy speedster. The thing with this system, Taylor, is that now you're getting Adell and Marsh will be up in the upper levels. They're a little further away, so you have to kind of wait with bated breath because, especially with these high ceiling guys, you don't know what direction it's going to go in, but it's so exciting to see what these guys are capable of. And I think you look to see what Adell has done and what Marsh has done, and in a lot of ways, both of them being ahead of where people thought they would be based on who they were as high schoolers. And it gives you hope that a Jordan Adams is going to figure out, Jeremiah Jackson is going to figure it out. There's patience that needs to happen because of that. I think that's why they went and got Will Wilson, in the draft this last year. They needed someone sort of to slot in above some of those high-end guys who are still kind of far away.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on. I do want to bring up one more thing here, and it's very short. Team Israel, the 2020 Olympics, what are the odds?
The odds of what, them winning?
Yeah, let's give them a gold medal.
Well, I mean, I'll say they have a good chance to medal, but there's only six teams, so, that's not exactly going out on a limb. I think they'll have a talented team. What's going to be tough for them is, like Japan, I hear they're going to, close down their league. So the Japanese Olympic team is going to have the top players playing in the Japanese league. And that will pay, what Team Israel will be able to do, which will be non-40-man roster minor leaguers, by and large. It's going to be tough. But given the fact that, we didn't know, we didn't think they would do that well in the World Baseball Classic. It made the movie Heading Home a Tale, Team Israel, shameless plug, much better because they ended up, going through the first round. No one thought they would qualify, and they did. So who knows? But between Japan and let's see what the United States would be able to put together a fairly good non-40-man roster team, I would think. But we'll wait and see what happens. So you never want to bet against them because they clearly enjoy defying the odds.
I love it. I'm cheering for him. Jonathan, thanks so much for coming on. For our listeners that don't already follow your work, where can they find your work and also find you on, let's say, social media?
Yeah, well, so MLBpipeline.com is the quickest way to get to all of our prospect stuff. And then it's easy on Twitter. I'm at Jonathan Mayo.
Jonathan, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Taylor.
Once again, that's Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com and MLB Pipeline. I have to apologize to Jonathan. One of the phones in the office here started going off when he was talking with us, and that's on my end, so I'm sorry for that, Jonathan. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow Jonathan at Jonathan Mayo. Also, head over to MLBPipeline.com, the best prospect content you can find on the internet. Him and Jim Callis and Mike Rosenbaum do such a great job of covering the draft and prospects. The premium prospect outlet, in my opinion, when it comes to prospect coverage, and Jonathan does such a great job. So really a pleasure having him on the show. Thanks for tuning in. That's all we have for today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels, and you can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Reminder that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. We'll have a brand new episode of Locked On Angels coming your way on Monday. If you want to be a part of that show and interact with us, make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Taylor Blake Ward. I'll send out a tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night saying, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight, and the best ones will make the show on Monday morning. So you want to be a part of the show on Monday? Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you on Monday for Locked On Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. Enjoy the weekend.
Time for you to go out to the places you will.